you, Neela. Again, my name is Sharon Jean-Philippe. The title of my proposal is Tree Adaptation to Mercury Contaminated Soils Along East Fort Poplar Creek in Anderson and Roane. In Anderson and Roane County, Tennessee. A general outline of the talk today, we will look at the project relevance, background on the site, methods, and then future project directions. All soils have been exposed to mercury through atmospheric deposition, but the occurrence in terrestrial environments is mainly minute. However, mercury released in the environment through anthropogenic sources becomes concentrated in waterways and ecologically sensitive and highly productive wetlands, where it can be ingested by animals and enter the food chain. Adaptation of trees surviving in contaminated soils is mainly due to phenotypic plasticity and or microbial community association. The fungal communities and roots of trees are intimately associated with the soil solution and solid phase components. This can serve as a first line of defense in allowing essential and non-essential elements access. So understanding these mutualistic association between roots and trees could be valuable, mainly because trees possessing these extensive root systems in association with fungi along stream sites can help in immobilizing mercury in the environment. Mercury contamination is ubiquitous in the Y-12 watershed and has been identified as a key contaminant in soil, sediments, surface water, groundwater, drains, and buildings. The source of mercury originated from the 1950s and 60s as part of the U.S. nuclear weapons program, where mercury was used as a key contaminant to enrich lithium by separating the lithium isotopes. In the mid-1980s, the estimated total mercury ranged from 0.5 to 3,000 parts per million. During this time, there has been extensive remediation work done on East Fort Poplar Creek. And in the early 1990s, Scientific Application International Corporation ran transects along East Fort Poplar Creek and found the total mercury ranging from 0 to more than 200 parts per million. Here's East Fort Poplar Creek. Its headwaters originates at the Y-12 plant, and it runs through the city of Oak Ridge. It's another schematic of the creek outlined in green. East Fort Poplar Creek drains into Poplar Creek, and Poplar Creek eventually drains into the Clinch River. So how do trees adapt to mercury-contaminated soils along East Fort Poplar Creek? From a below-ground perspective, it is assumed that trees share a symbiotic association with various fungi. It's an additional benefit of this association to trees, a tolerance to mercury. If so, what is the symbiotic relationship? Is it endomycorrhizal or ectomycorrhizal, or a combination of the two? And where is the mercury localized within the tree's compartment? Meaning, is it in the above ground components, the leaves or wood, or in the below ground components, the roots? We will test several hypotheses to answer these questions. Hypothesis one, mycorrhizal roots are more prevalent in high plots versus low and medium plots along East Fort Poplar Creek. To test this hypothesis, we will establish vegetation plots, sample the soil, and then verify the mercury contamination using infrared spectroscopy. I will get to the third point later on in the talk. Using data collected from Scientific Application International Corporation, three contamination levels, low, medium, and high, were delineated within each block. Plots were randomly selected using stratified random sampling. The three contamination levels are low, meaning 0 to 50, 50 to 200 parts per million for the medium, and above 200 parts per million for the high plot. Plot size was 24 feet radius, with three plots for low and high, and three plots for low and medium, and one plot for high. The small area of highly contaminated soil only allowed the placement of one high plot per block, which is, this is plot D for the high plot. Plot G, E, and A are our mediums, and F, H, and B are the low plots. Within each plot, woody plants were inventoried that had a diameter over 1 inch. So block one and block two are in the city of Oak Ridge. Block three is actually in Anderson County. If you know anything about Oak Ridge, this is the Ford dealership, and East Fork Poplar Creek is running behind it. We have four plots along this side of the creek, and then three plots along this side of the creek. During the months of June and October 07 and then June and October of 08, we sampled the soil along East Fork Poplar Creek. Three soil cores were collected for each plot, totaling 21 soil cores per sampling time. The soil cores range from 6 to 12 inches. Taking a sub-sample of the soil from the soil cores, we wanted to first characterize the mycorrhizal association, and we did this by using the grid line intersection method. Roots were washed, cleared, and stained, and the mycorrhizal colonization was assessed by a dissecting microscope. Now, with ectomycorrhizal roots, they can actually be seen by the use of a naked eye. These are ectomycorrhizal roots. It's the hyphae or sheath that is attached to the root right here. For endomycorrhizal roots, they had to be processed. Processed meaning we had to clear the roots and then stain them either with trypan blue or corrosal black. And this is an example of an endomycorrhizal root. Also, taking additional subsamples, we want to assess the physicochemical components of the soil, meaning the water, pH content, macro and micronutrients, and then verify the three contamination levels obtained from the data collected from Science Application International Corporation. And I will talk about the verification part later on. Moving along to hypothesis two and three, tree seedlings with mycorrhizal roots are more tolerant to mercury than seedlings that are non-mycorrhizal, and the location of mercury is mainly within the below-ground components of the tree seedlings. So to test these hypotheses, we started a growth chamber study, and during the growth chamber study, we will evaluate the seedling response or function to mercury application, and then analyze the root stems and leaves using infrared spectroscopy. To test the tolerance of tree seedlings to mercury, we planted 96 one-year-old American sycamore and inoculated these seedlings with soil cores obtained from the high plots located along the creek. We allowed them to establish for 6 months. Here's our seedlings actually located in the basement of the growth chamber. After 6 months of establishing, this will actually be January the 1st, we will water these seedlings with 5 parts per million mixture of mercury compounds. Mercury compounds meaning the mercuric nitrate, methyl mercury chloride, mercuric sulfide, and elemental mercury. We picked these mercury species because these are the ones that were found out along the creek due to the contamination. So these are the mercury compounds that we will use. During the watering, we will look at the seedling's response to mercury application by looking at leaf transpiration and root respiration using the portable photosynthesis system. After the 6 months of watering, we will sacrifice those seedlings and examine the presence of fungal colonization and then analyze the root stems and leaves using infrared spectroscopy. I have avoided talking about infrared spectroscopy until now, mainly because there is no current method that can be used to differentiate mercury compounds. You can get total mercury, but not mercury compounds, meaning the mercuric nitrate, the mercuric sulfide, the methyl mercury. So from preliminary work done in our lab and from publications, it has been shown that you can use infrared spectroscopy to identify these mercury compounds. We'll be using two ranges, near infrared and mid infrared. This is the near infrared setup that is actually in the Wood Product Center. This is just one of several setups for this one. Near infrared can actually be used in the field. It can be used in the greenhouse or in the lab. So this is a very mobile piece of equipment. For mid infrared, this is the mid infrared right here. It's very bulky. This cannot be taken out in the field. We have to bring our samples to the lab to be able to analyze them. Also, the samples have to be prepped, meaning we mainly take the samples and we press them into pellets. And that's our mid-infrared. After collecting these spectra, we cannot decipher what they mean just from the naked eye. So we would need to use multivariate analysis to be able to extract information from the spectra. We will be specifically using principal component analysis to be able to classify our mercury compounds, and then partial least squares analysis to predict, to build a model to be able to predict the unknown samples. Future project directions. We're currently, right now, analyzing our soil cores for the chemical components, mercury compounds, and then the mycorrhizal association. We will initiate a new growth chamber study starting January the 1st, mainly because the American sycamore seedlings that we obtained, they came from a nursery, which probably already had a fungal species association. So we want to initiate a new growth chamber study using sterile seeds in a sterile medium. We will again inoculate those seedlings with soil cores obtained from the high plots and allow them to establish. And then again, after 6 months of establishment, we will water them again for another 6 months with the mercury compounds, and then evaluate the seedlings' response to mercury application. I would like to thank my major professor, and my committee members, and my helpful field crew people and technical crew, Forest Wildlife and Fishery Department, and my funding sources. Thank you. Yeah, any questions? I'm sorry, that was the next slide after the fact.
Does anyone have any questions
before? Did anybody get it? Yeah. Oh, what? Yeah. Preliminary? Yeah, I can't say it either. Your question was based on the preliminary studies regarding your, are you talking about the mycorrhizal association or are you talking about the mercury data? Either. Well, currently at this moment, it looks like the association, the prevalent association is endomycorrhizae. The majority of the species out there anyway have endomycorrhizal associations, mainly because you're talking about a floodplain area anyway. So normally you would have that, well, ectomycorrhizae won't survive with all that water anyway. It would have to be something internal. But there are ecto. And the interesting part, since we've had this drought, you know, the soil's been quite dry, so after this sampling season, it might be interesting after we analyze the cores to see if it's more ecto than endo. But it might change next year. You never know if it rains.
I was just trying to place your sample sites because they're right behind the Ford dealership.
Well, some of them, well, one of them is behind the Ford dealership on the other side of the creek.
So this is after the stream goes through the lab property?
Yeah, this is after the, because the contamination, it was released from that that headwater at Y-12 Point. That's where the contamination, so they would not allow us to get on Oak Ridge. Mainly because, I mean, we can't walk on it anyway because it's highly contaminated. So this is after, this is probably about 2 miles downstream of the Y-12. Mm-hmm.
So it cuts through by the road there?
Yes, it cuts through.
It goes into the lab?
Yeah.
Through the gap in the ridge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
Why do you think the fungal relationship would assist?
Well, maybe not assist, but help the tree in maybe immobilizing it by compartmentalizing the mercury within its components. There's been plenty of studies looking at zinc and lead and other heavy metals where the heavy metals were found in the fungal components or in lower parts of the roots of the tree and not move past that. So that's our assumption that the mercury is probably going to, especially with the associated fungi, stay within the fungal components. Well, that's what I'm hoping that would happen. Yeah.
Mercury problems in other streams around Tennessee?
Yes. Yes, it is. Mercury, but besides mercury, you have plutonium, uranium, cesium. I mean, it depends on what creek you're talking about.
Are those coming from just natural?
Those are coming from the Y-12 plant. I haven't, I haven't checked any other creeks. Only the ones I've looked at were Bear Creek, Poplar Creek, and the Clinch River and stuff like that.
To move on to our next seminar, if anyone else has questions for Sharon, I'm sure she'll talk with you afterwards. So thank you, Sharon.